Turn your Bibles to chapter 4, Ephesians. You're now learning something. Ephesians is an instruction manual for the church. When I was a couple years younger, I used to have to put together toys for my kids. And there's one thing I hate. It doesn't matter what. I don't want to read the directions because it's an insult to my intelligence if I can't put it together by figuring out myself. How many of you remember putting toys together for the kids? And what I'd do is I'd take the picture of what I'm building and sit down Christmas Eve, because Sandy would always hide the presents somewhere in the house, and the kids would be searching all over, and every year they found them anyway. And so I'd take them out, put them in there, and look at the picture, and I'd start building. And about 4:30 in the morning, Christmas, I'd have to start over because I needed to read the directions, because that's what you do. And God, what am I saying is God has a direction for the church. We've talked about the calling, and God's given us directions. But you know what I've discovered? Now that I'm 29, every time I say that, people mock me. Please see an ophthalmologist to make sure your glasses are seeing clearly. What was I talking about? I'm sorry, we went to Vegas again. Here's the preacher confessing, we spend more time in Vegas than you can imagine. All of our garage was loaded with the kids' stuff. So Friday, early Friday, I got a budget rental truck. Sandy and I, by ourselves, loaded everything. Couches, chairs, all the kids' stuff. You ever seen Hoarders? That's our garage up until right now. It was awful. Loaded it all in. I drove that truck. It was a big truck. I drove that thing. And we moved it all in, got it in, and I am really beat. 29 is the age when you start going downhill. And so if I don't act normal, it's because, well, I know what you're thinking. You don't act normal anyway. But if I act more abnormal than usual, it's because, man, that was a whirlwind. I think when I was a kid, I only been once to Vegas in all my life. Now I spend weekend there. Don't gamble, just moving stuff. Anyway, what was I talking about? There's an instruction manual for the church. It's here. Ephesians 4 through 6 is telling us how to operate the church. But you know what I've discovered since I've been in ministry? Very few churches follow these directions. Why is that? Somebody tell me why we don't follow what God has us do. We think we know better. Or we, frankly, we're not people of the word. So God tells us, first of all, in order for a church to run right, you got to have a humble walk. You have to put up with each other. One of the hardest things to do is if brother or sister or so-and-so drives you nuts. You know what the Bible says? Put up with it. Forbear one another in love. The sign of the Holy Spirit's work in a church is there's unity. How many churches have you been to where there's been absolute unity? You know what that means? You either, if you say the church was united, you weren't on the elder board. You weren't involved in the church. You were just sitting in the pew. Or, frankly, they were lying to you. Very few churches follow the directions that make us united. But the work of the Spirit is to make a church united. United in how we do things, what we do, what we believe. And when a church is disunited, it means there's something wrong. We're not following the directions because the Holy Spirit, He is in charge. And if we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, then that's why there's disunity. After that, we talk to the fact that God has given certain people in the church gifted the church with people to help His church grow. Can you name the offices that God gave? Can you name the offices that God gave? As tired as I am, I could name them. He gave apostles. So, are there apostles today? Because some of you are going to come to churches where apostle such and such is going to greet you. Now you know that you really shouldn't say there are apostles. What are the qualifications for apostle? You had to be in Jesus' ministry and be a witness to his physical resurrection. Well, good luck if you claim that. Then you're older than I am in a couple of days. Prophets. Well, I'm what they call a practical cessationist. I believe that it's very possible that God could raise up someone. However, a practical cessationist says this: show me one person that has 100% track record. Ain't no such thing. So I believe prophets, you claim to be a prophet, prove it. I've had a lot of these guys. I read all of these wacko websites from Christians on the internet. My mom used to say, take his television away from him. Now, they say about me, take his internet away from him. Because I read all of these. And all of these predictions of these Christian prophets. And they get them half right, mostly wrong. No, that's not what the sign of God's true prophet is. God's true prophet or prophetess, ladies, yes. Philip had four daughters that prophesied. They were prophetesses, ladies. You know how you knew they were real? Whatever they said, predicted, knew supernaturally was true, came about. Ain't no such thing that I see today. Then we came to evangelists, and that means church planters. They're around. But then, pastor, teacher, and we shocked you. You found out there's no difference between me and Terry. What's the difference? I do this full time. Terry is an elder part time and arrests people the rest of his full time. But there's no difference. How did it happen that the church began to have a professional clergy in uniform? Men did that. Evil men raised up a hierarchy of professional clergy that was never to be. It's false. And then they gave them all sorts of titles. The Right Reverend. Ain't nothing. Some people come in to me and go, Reverend, how are you doing? And this is my, I'm going to always say, ain't nothing reverend about me. The Right Reverend, Minister, all of these dumb titles. Jesus said, the greatest of you shall be a what? So the elder board really is to serve. And so we found out all those qualifications, and to be honest with you, it's very difficult, standard, above reproach. That's hard for a guy to be above reproach. And when an elder thinks they're above reproach, I'm going to look a little closer. We're all human. And honestly, if I applied the word above reproach, I don't think anybody would be qualified. And the ones that you look at, some of you preacher shoppers that see these preachers on television, very prominent on television preachers, I'm going to tell you something. Here's the scam. They're the least qualified of all of them. I've been in some places where I know now. So you got to have pastor, elder, overseers who go by the book, follow the directions. That's what God blesses. And what do the pastors and teachers do? They equip the saints so that the saints do the work of the ministry. Well, what do we have you for, Pastor Dave? Well, I'm to help teach the word, help people understand, so that we can all minister to people together. The saints do the work of the ministry. I will say that for this church, there are many people here. I can honestly say, of my experience in churches, there are some really working people at our church. So we're finding out we got to follow the directions. So what are the directions? Well, we've got to equip the saints so that the saints can do the work of the service, so that the body of Christ... Now you know something. The body of Christ is not physical. It's not a building. I know people get mad at me that. How dare you say, Pastor Dave, the church is not a building. It isn't. This is just a building. You're the church. You're the temple of God. You're the bricks. We've got to make sure that we're doing it right so that you are built up. You ever seen those weightlifters? Can you imagine spending all day in the mirror with the steroids until... Ladies, do you like the guys that are really muscular? Come on, be honest with me. Come on. Do you, the guys that walk around like this? Do you? Come on. Do you like them to be muscle bound? Really? Because these guys work all day. It's self-love. It has to be. Because they like to look at themselves in the mirror, inject the steroids, and they just sit there and put the tan stuff all over them. And that's not how we're building you up. We're not. We don't want you to be... It's not physical building up. It's not about food. Then you get some preachers that are into food. Paul said that in the last days there would be people in ministry who would tell people to abstain from food and from meat and all sorts of stuff. And he said, when you get into that, it's doctrines of demons. That everything is that God gave us is for our good, and it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So when I get some of these guys that are into these health nut stuff, watch them. They don't even know the word. Now, you should eat right, okay, but that's not what we're about building you up on. So now, you now know the goal of the elders to build you up. What are we building you into? You can say it in one word. Jesus. If our church isn't like Jesus, the elders have failed. How Jesus was with people is the way we need to build up people to be. So how was Jesus with people? Where are you going to find that out? You're going to go to the Gospels, and here is the thing that's going to shock you. Jesus loved sinners. And he disliked, are you ready, those strict Pharisee fundamentalists. The word Pharisee meant pious, separated ones. I've met Christians like that. They're so good, their nose is so high in the air, they think they're so holy, and they're not. Jesus loved sinners. He didn't become like them. But you know what they said about Jesus? Have you ever seen what they said about Jesus? I want you to hold your finger here. If we're to build you up like Jesus, I want you to go to Luke. I want you to go to Luke chapter 7, verses 33 and 34. Here's what Jesus' enemies said about him, and it had a ring of truth. By the way, when an enemy says something about you, they'll always try to use a ring of truth. Here is what the enemies of Jesus were saying about him. Here's what they said. They said, John the Baptist. Well, this is not what the enemy said, but what Jesus said in reply to his enemies told us what they said. For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine. John the Baptist was what we call a strict vegetarian ascetic. He was a Nazarite. So what they would do is, grow their hair long, razor. Who else was the biggest Nazarite that you remember? Samson. So Samson didn't cut his hair until one fateful day. Guess who cut Samson's hair? How come nobody's named, ladies, why don't you name your children Delilah? Have you met a Delilah? How about Jezebel? Nobody gets, they ruined the whole good name probably. There were probably good Jezebels, but for the one. Anyway, so he'd have long hair, and strict. You know what his diet was? Locusts, grasshoppers, and honey. Can you imagine? Because they were, and he was not allowed to have any wine. And that would be, John the Baptist was one of those strict, no fun, we would call it very dietetically strict. Yeah, very Puritan-like. Well, they drank. Anyway, you know, if you were in one of those villages in New England, living next to Grace Anderson, you'd probably have to drink. No, I'm just kidding. Poor Grace is going to get me. Anyway. No, the Puritans drank, but they wouldn't let you celebrate Christmas. It was a 5-pound shilling fine in jail if they caught you celebrating Christmas. That's because the Puritans knew that Christmas was pagan. You don't know that because preachers won't tell you the truth. Anyway, now I got to find out after the moving and being so tired where I was this morning. This happens. John the Baptist came eating and drinking. John the Baptist came eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, he has a demon. Well, he didn't. He was a Nazarite. But you know why they said he had a demon? Do you know what happens to God's people? They don't know the Word of God. They had no idea what a Nazarite was. They were just like Christians today. You have no idea of some of the things in the Bible. Why? Because the clergy, or whatever they call them, don't teach you the Word of God. So they didn't know that John the Baptist was doing something perfectly biblical. He was a Nazarite. Long hair, scruffy looking with a leather belt, sandals. Well, when you met John, he'd make an impression on you. But look what it says about your Savior. The Son of Man has come eating. You know what that means? Jesus liked to eat. Do you like to eat? Huh? Somebody's laughing. I wonder. You're nice and thin. Why is that? Really? You're just nice? Some people are naturally nice and thin. If I just merely smell bread or chocolate or sweets, 40-pound gain instantly. You know what I mean? But Jesus, what this is saying is Jesus enjoyed life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was an ascetic. He enjoyed life. Now, he wasn't a glutton, but he sat there and he didn't what they call keep kosher. He'd eat. Now, he didn't have ham because he didn't want to offend anybody. You know, but he enjoyed life. Living under, he would eat and enjoy himself. Look next. And drinking. Now, you say, does that mean water? No, because verse 33 says, John the Baptist drinking no what? Water. Jesus came eating in. I tell you, if Jesus came back today and was at a restaurant sitting with Ralph and you saw a big bottle of wine open on the table and Ralph and Jesus were drinking, your tongue would wag. How dare Ralph and Jesus? Look at that. They're drinking alcohol. You would, you know, have you ever been offended? My mom's side of the family was complete, strict holiness group. You ever been around those people? They're anything but holy. But they like to talk about holiness. And they have all these rules. They think by not doing something, it makes you holy. That isn't what holiness is. And booze to those people, absolutely horrid. You're on your way to hell. As a matter of fact, my mom influenced my dad so much that early in my dad's Christian life, if we went to dinner with someone and they ordered alcohol, they had to pay for it. My dad wouldn't pay for it. You know, that kind of a think. You come with me, you order that, that's fine. Just sign a statement that I'm not liable for how you drive back. And Jesus, it says here, enjoyed food and he drank and it was alcohol. Now, if you're an alcoholic, don't. And I know I've had people that have been. So be careful. We're not saying that Jesus was libertine, anything went, but we're saying, in contrast to John, Jesus enjoyed life, eating and drinking. And look what they next said about him. A gluttonous man. Well, you know how they ate in those days? How many have ever seen the Lord's Supper? Michelangelo. Completely bogus picture. Let me wake you up to this. That is a table with chairs. They didn't do it. Jews didn't have table with chairs. They had tables and they had couches. We call them triclinium. You would lay down. The ladies, would serve the food. And they'd bring in these big dishes. If they were, how can I say it? If they had enough means. Big dishes of really cooked, well-cooked lamb. And fish and rice and you name it, heaping bowls. And then you'd sit on whatever side. If you're right-handed, you'd lean on your left. If you're left-handed, you'd lean on your right. You know what it says about John? The disciple leaned on Jesus' breast. That's because they were flat on these couches and he had to lean like this to talk because he was too busy with his other hand going. And by the way, Passover was not like Gentiles do with the Lord's Supper. We get an oyster cracker and a little bit of what they tell us is grape juice. Oh, yeah. It was wine and it was a dinner. And they enjoyed life. It's only some of these fundamentalist Gentiles that get all upset about these things. And so when you go there, they didn't have knives and forks. You reached in. Now, this is where I got to be honest with you. I'm phobic germaphobe. Okay, some of you will not find this shocking. But the idea of, in my eye, of different people ripping the meat off with their hands and the glistening of the fat and going like this, putting it, I couldn't eat. Nothing personal. You're born some ways. You know what I mean? But they would sit down and the wine would flow and they'd be eating and enjoying and laughing. And that was Jesus. And you know what the sinners said about him? He's a glutton. You want to be like Jesus? You can enjoy life. You want to be like Jesus? Don't become an alcoholic, but you can enjoy wine. We get kids from Europe at the school. They think Americans are nuts. Most of those kids from Europe will think nothing of wine and beer with their meal. Because in Europe, anybody been to Europe? Don't drink the water. Or you'll wish you hadn't. And they have all sorts of stuff that can get into your intestines in that water. It's an old country, Europe, where there aren't too good. And so even alcohol in Jesus' day killed germs. So that's why they come here and they see Christians acting the way they do about that stuff, and it's completely bogus. And so Jesus was called a glutton. He enjoyed life. He was called a wine bibber, but look what it said. A drunkard. He never got drunk, but that's what it made it look like. And then, now notice this one in verse 34. Since we're to be like Jesus, please note verse 34 of Luke. A friend of tax gatherers and sinners. Now listen, you know I've told you this. In Jewish society, it wasn't the sexually immoral person that was the worst. And especially among the Pharisees. I happen to know some of the oral law written down in the Talmud, and you'd be shocked. There was a lot of immorality going on. What the worst person in society was not the sexually immoral, although they were down there, the woman at the well. You know who the worst one in Jewish society was? Guess who was the one that wrote the first book of the Gospels, the first book ever written about Jesus? Matthew. Do you realize that Jesus extended an opportunity? Listen, in Jewish society, the worst Jew was a tax collector for Rome who traitored his people. The Jews believed they shouldn't be giving any of their money to Rome. It belongs to be given to God in the temple, not to some crazy emperor. And so, if you want to be the worst person in Jewish society of that day, you know what you would do? The worst! You'd collect taxes for Rome. And nobody who was a good Jewish person would ever have anything to do with you. So all the tax collectors hung together because no one liked them. Guess what this is saying? If you want to be like Jesus, Jesus hung out with the worst in society. So what has the church gotten like today? We'll only hang out with what we consider the best of society. Don't we? Now what's our goal to be doing? Making you like Jesus, yes? Well, your Savior would shock you, and I think if Jesus showed up at some churches, as he really was, first of all, you'd call Homeland Security because he would look like an Arab. He'd have a turban on. He'd look. After you found out he wasn't, then you invited him to dinner, and he'd order some alcohol and have a nice meal with you and laugh and enjoy, and he wouldn't care who was there, even the worst. Because he came to seek and to save what? But what happens to the church? We think we're so good. And I always watch people that accuse others of things. Because I've learned that in the church, the ones that complain the most about holiness are the least holy. And Jesus would shock you, and you would realize that he was perfectly holy, but what a really wonderful person he was, seeking and saving that which was lost. A friend of tax gatherers and sinners. A friend. But I've heard from the pulpit, birds of a feather flock together. You shouldn't be hanging out with sinners. Well, you shouldn't become like them, but you should hang out with them. And let them know the love of Jesus, the kindness of the Savior. The goal of elders is to make people like Jesus. And frankly, there are times in which I'm more comfortable around sinners because they act better than saints. I get so tired of some of the fundamentalist groups that I've been around that taught me to watch for how Jesus was with people and how different he was. And what is it about Jesus that I ask myself that sinners wanted to be with him, but today, do any sinners want to be with Christians? They run like a bat out of hell from most people who are religious because we're holier than thou. Do you know the only difference between you and the worst sinner is the saving grace of Jesus Christ? And but for the grace of God, we would all be horrible. And that's how Jesus was. We're going to go more into this because what's the goal of elders? To teach us to be like Jesus. Well, the question then is, how was Jesus? Well, let me shock you. He sure wasn't like John the Baptist. He was a friend of sinners. He was a loving, gentle man, and we're going to deal with this as we are to equip the saints to be like Jesus so that we can glorify our Savior. That's what we have to do. And most preachers, frankly, to be honest with you, they don't get it. That's because they're too busy listening to preacher books and to sermons on podcasts that have nothing to do with how Jesus was.